Dhanyavad Abhishek, thank you Abhishek, and dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. In the month of April has just begun, and a few days ago in this divine hamlet, we had the colorful celebration of Holi. Hundreds of devotees from the states of Bihar and Jharkhand were here to offer to Bhagwan a two-day musical presentation, and the two singers, Kumari Jyotsna and Kumari Suvarna from Bihar, made such a soulful rendering at his lotus feet. They even sang a few Telugu songs, and it was so melodiously rendered. In fact, dear listeners, you must listen to this program. You can also watch it on our website, radiosai.org. But for now, let me give you just a 3-minute glimpse of that program. Relish it. So that was a glimpse of day one of Holi celebrations. And on the second day, the Balvikas children from Bihar and Jharkhand presented a lovely dance and song performance, which too was so lively and beautiful. And to add to this, the huge backdrop of Swami with Bhagwan in different moods was so captivating. Actually, you could not take your eyes off that huge screen. So that is how, dear listeners, Holi celebrations happened in Prashanthi, and this festival's celebration has been going on for so many years now, thanks to the deep interest and involvement of the devotees from Bihar and Jharkhand. And now, in a few days, Prashanthi will witness another celebration, the festival of Ugadi, the Telugu New Year's Day, which falls on April 11th. And talking of Talking of Ugadi, I'm reminded of how Bhagwan in the 70s used to make it a point to be in Hyderabad, the capital of Andhra Pradesh, for this festival. In fact, from 1973 to 1979, Bhagwan was in Hyderabad each of these years to be with the people of Andhra Pradesh and give them joy and bliss. And on all these occasions, the discourses he gave in Hyderabad were really precious. In fact, on Ugadi Day 1973, Swami said, "May this new year bring you all happiness. You can get true happiness only by serving the poor and the handicapped and those working very hard to make their ends meet. I always give importance to service as sadhana. All of you should take part in seva activities. Offer your pure thoughts, actions and deeds at the lotus feet. That is true surrender. And when God accepts that surrender, you will have His grace flowing onto you. Offer everything to Him with gratitude. Love God and experience His love." This is what Bhagwan said in 1973. And after that, as I said, every year he was in Hyderabad and he gave a potent message inspiring people to engage in selfless service. In fact, Hyderabad is the place where the selfless service volunteers group, the Sri Satya Sai Sevadals, was first formed by Bhagwan in 1968. And another beautiful aspect of Hyderabad and Swami's visits to the city is that every time he was in Hyderabad from 1973, Swami stayed in Shivam. Yes, Shivam, the divine abode of Bhagwan. In fact, today, April 4th, is the 40th anniversary of Shivam, because on this day, four decades ago, Bhagwan in his divine hands unfurled this beautiful edifice in the capital of Andhra Pradesh. In fact, during its construction days, when some so-called rationalists and agnostics criticized the creation of this structure, Bhagwan, in one of his discourses in those days, very emphatically said, "Some question the money spent towards the construction of Shivam. They say it could have been utilized for feeding the poor and such other social work. Those people have no idea of the importance of Shivam. This Shivam will confer mental peace on anyone who steps inside its premises. And this is something which cannot be acquired, even if one had in possession lakhs of rupees or any material possessions. This Shivam will confer mental peace on anyone who steps inside." This was Bhagwan's declaration 40 years ago. And I experienced this myself when I was on a visit to this divine abode a few days ago. And as I sat there and also had a chance to interact with many devotees there, I unearthed beautiful facets and dimensions of this spiritual structure set up by Bhagwan himself. And all of this, dear listeners, is so moving. It is really worth ruminating upon. And that is what I thought I will share today. That is what we will discuss today in the next 60 minutes or so. But before that, let us first offer our loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is the very personification of truth, goodness and beauty. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we immerse ourselves only in the glory of your story, only in the fragrance of your love and in the majesty of your message. Please be with us at every step, dear Lord. With this prayer, let's move on. And dear listeners, welcome to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. You are listening to the live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. And today we discuss Shivam, Sai Hridayam, Shivam, the heart of Sai. And for this, I'm now going to play for you a conversation which I recorded just 2 days ago with a colleague of mine who works in this Sri Satya Sai Central Trust here in Prashanthinilayam, a former student of Bhagwan's University, Hari Shankar. Hari Shankar and I have known each other for quite some time, and when I started sharing with him my experience of being in Shivam, he seemed so interested and fascinated, and that is when I thought that I should record this conversation for all the listeners, because it is a story which is so sanctifying. So here it is, dear listeners, a conversation on Shivam on the 40th anniversary of this beautiful edifice. Sai Ram Hari, how are you?
Sai Ram Bisho, I'm doing very well. How are you keeping?
Yes, the summer is on in Prashanti, right?
Yes, the mercury seems showing no signs of letting down at all.
Yes, it's almost touching 40 degrees, I heard.
Yes, it has been, and you should feel the real, the intensity of the heat when you walk in the, you know, mid-afternoon.
Yes.
And that's a very different feeling.
But whatever it is, you know, Hari, Prashanti is Prashanti, and I somehow always feel comfortable in Prashanti. And apart from the fact that by Swami's grace there is no power or water problem here, there is something about this place which always really comforts my being, and it's such a soothing feeling for the soul. Even if I go out somewhere for 1 or 2 days just for a break, you know, I long to be back.
Yes, this is the spiritual nerve center for the entire world, and I'm sure every devotee of Bhagwan feels the same way. This is our home, and this is
exactly
where we belong.
Our home. I think everyone feels that same feeling, that in Prashanti, even if they come for a day or 2 days, they feel it is my home. In fact, just a few days ago, on March 24th, 2013, I was in Hyderabad, the capital of Andhra Pradesh, and I had the opportunity to be in Shivam. You know about Shivam?
Yes, this is, in fact, part of the triad of temples that Swami had set up. Satyam, or what we know as Dharmakshetra in Mumbai, and there is Shivam in Hyderabad, and Sundaram in Chennai. So Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. So these are the trio of spiritual centers that Swami had set up.
I really liked being there, Hari. I mean, it had a Prashanti kind of feel and atmosphere. Lot of devotees had gathered there from this metro city, and there was a beautiful bhajan workshop there. I was present for that. And after that, in the evening, there was a Samarpan program. You are aware of the Samarpan program, right?
The Samarpan program, very much like the one which is held in Bangalore?
Yes, wherein you have very distinguished devotees of Bhagwan share their reminiscences and experiences. And this has been going on in Bangalore for, I think, almost a year now.
Yes, the alumni have been conducting it now for
yes.
the past a year, a little more than a year.
Little more than a year. And now the alumni in Hyderabad, taking inspiration from the alumni in Bangalore, have started this program. And that day, it was the third Samarpan program. And it was really a wonderful feeling, you know, sitting in that lawns there in front of that lovely edifice of Shivam building, the huge Lingam dome, which was some kind of a beautiful backdrop. There was a beautiful, soulful rendering of devotional songs too. And then there was this talk by Mr. L.V. Subramaniam, who is currently the executive officer of the TTD, Tirumala Tirupati Devasthanam. And interestingly, he is a former student of Bhagwan's University. In fact, he belongs to the very early batches of students, and it was great listening to his reminiscences of those days with Bhagwan in the late 60s and early 70s. Maybe sometime we should play this entire talk on Radio Sai, because it was really a very very enriching talk.
Yes, if Bhagwan in the late 60s and early 70s, those experiences will be a treasure trove for all listeners to hear.
Yeah, because at that time, the college had still not come up. In a sense, the university came only in 1981. You had the boys who used to stay with Bhagwan but study in the Bangalore University. They used to go to the city.
Yes.
And they used to do all kinds of chores that you read that used to happen with the pupils who used to study with the guru in the ancient times. You know, they used to do gardening, and they used to look after the Gokulam, look after the cows. They used to do so many activities and they had ample opportunities of interaction with Bhagwan. So what he shared that day was really wonderful. But I think we'll have to reserve that for some other day. Because what I want to really share and convey with you today is what I experienced in Shivam. Because that Shivam experience that day was really a very uplifting experience. And in fact, I got so interested in finding out more about Shivam. I started talking to many Sai brothers there who had come that day for this program. And one of them told me that after he finished his education and when he was leaving to his hometown, which happened to be Hyderabad, Swami told him specifically to never stop visiting Shivam.
Is that right?
Yes, Swami told him that you, even if you go to Hyderabad, you work in Hyderabad, but continue to go to Shivam because that place has a power. I have placed a yantra there.
Mm.
It has a lot of potency. Do visit Shivam regularly. And this brother told me after the program that I was really amazed. And you know, that really increased my inquisitiveness. And I started talking to more people to find out more about this sacred site. And you know, the kind of things I unearthed are really beautiful.
Oh, it would be very kind of you to share these things with us, Vishu.
Yeah, before I come to that story of the yantra, you know, let me share with you what I got when I spoke to many elder devotees there. Devotees who have been coming to Shivam for like 30 years, 40 years. And I asked one, Mr. Sitaram Rao. You know, he's been coming for almost 3 decades. And I asked him, you know, what endears you to this place? Why have you been coming to Shivam? And he says, whenever I come here, I feel like Swami is in Hyderabad. He says, for me, the experience is similar to seeing Swami in Puttaparthi. I really felt that, Hari, when I was in Shivam.
In fact, I have seen the edifice from outside. And this building, like even the colors, so many things, they match exactly to what is there in Prashanti Nilayam.
Yes, exactly.
That city of Hyderabad, this is like an oasis. It's like Prashanti Nilayam just got transported to Hyderabad.
I mean, so very beautifully put, because it was the same experience of another devotee. You know, one devotee, Ankamarao, I met him. He told the same thing. He is a Shiva devotee. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, he's really fascinated with Lord Shiva. And one day as he was passing by that road, which is now called the Shivam Road, he saw this edifice, which is shaped in the form of a linga. Mm-hmm. And he just could not resist that temptation to go inside. And he says the moment he stepped inside this premises, he had this never-before-experienced feeling of supreme peace. And he says, within a few weeks after this, all his problems, his health and all the other personal problems he had, they slowly started disappearing. And he says, now, whenever he's confronted with any problem or dilemma, he just comes to Shivam. And he says, I come to Shivam, I sit here silently all by myself, and then I feel Swami is whispering into my ears those beautiful ideas and solutions to my worries.
Oh, this is so much like what people experience here in Prashanti Nilayam.
Absolutely. That is the reason why I said, you know, when I was there, I felt so much that it was like being in Prashanti Nilayam. And Hari, I think I should share with you that clip, what he said, Mr. Ankamar. I recorded in my small recorder and I think I should play that for you.
Yes, Vishu, go ahead.
ఇంకా బాగుంది ఇప్పుడు మనం ఎవరికైనా హెల్ప్ చేయడానికి ఏదైనా ఉండడానికి మంచి ఒక ఐడియాస్ ఆలోచన ధోరణి.
ఐ యామ్ కమింగ్ హియర్ ఫర్ ద లాస్ట్ 20 ఇయర్స్. దిస్ ప్లేస్ హస్ గివెన్ మీ నోబుల్ ఐడియాస్ అండ్ జనరేటెడ్ ఇన్ మీ థాట్స్ టు డూ గుడ్ వర్క్. ఎర్లియర్ ఐ మే హావ్ టేకన్ సమ్ హేస్టీ డెసిషన్స్ ఇన్ మై లైఫ్, బట్ వెన్ ఐ సిట్ హియర్ అండ్ థింక్, ఐ ఫీల్ డైరెక్షన్స్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ స్వామి హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఐ డూ ఈజ్ సక్సెస్ఫుల్. దేర్ ఆర్ నో ఫెయిల్యూర్స్. After having come here, I have experienced Shanti and Prashanti. Shivam instills courage. Shivam is a land of love.
ప్రశాంతి అన్ని దొరికింది. శివం అంటే చాలా ఇక ఎంతో బలం, ధైర్యము, ప్రేమ ప్రదేశం అనుకుంటాను.
In fact, what you heard is only a small clip. After that, I continued to speak to him and he said, every event in my life has manifested like a miracle since I knew Bhagwan and since I started coming to Shivam. And he says, in spite of many ailments, you know, whether it is small or serious ailments, I have never seen a doctor in the last 2 decades. And he says, even now, I have the same feeling of awe and ecstasy after 20 years. The same awe and ecstasy I have, what I had when I first entered this premises. and it is only increasing and intensifying every day like an upward curve. And when he said it, you know, he was so emphatic and he was so ecstatic. I was really taken aback and really delighted with, you know, what difference this Shivam has made to his life.
This is really so intriguing. And there must be many other devotees like this who have had experiences with Bhagwan from several years, as you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Yeah, actually I met one more person, Mr. M.M. Mohan Rao. And he said in the early 70s, he was actually in Vishakhapatnam. And he used to attend Sai Bhajans there. And at that time, you know, he heard about this construction of Shivam in Hyderabad.
This must have been around 1972 or 73. Because Shivam was inaugurated in 1973.
Exactly. So he heard about Bhagwan during that time. And, you know, when he heard that this Shivam building is being constructed, he thought to himself how beautiful it would be for me to live next to Shivam. And he was disappointed because, you know, such a beautiful thought, but he can't do nothing about it because he was stuck with his job in Vishakhapatnam. And he had plenty of problems in his personal and professional life. And seeking a solution to these, he thought he will make a trip to Prashantinilayam. So he said, okay, let me go to Puttaparthi and see what destiny has in store for me. So in fact, he didn't know about Prashantinilayam. Actually, with great difficulty, he managed to reach Prashantinilayam. You know, it is in the early 70s and we know how difficult it was to reach Prashantinilayam those days.
Even in those days, yeah, it was an arduous trek from Bangalore or any other city to Prashantinilayam.
And how people used to come from in bullock carts and come to Bukkapatnam and all that. So, I don't know what he went through. He said, somehow I managed to reach Prashantinilayam. And once he came here and he sat on the portico here, on the veranda. And at that time, you know, anyone could sit on the veranda. You didn't have the students, all of that came much later. And also at that time, anyone who was in the veranda most likely would get an interview.
Oh, they had a lot of free access.
A lot of free access, yes.
They were the lucky few.
Yes, absolutely. So when Bhagwan came out of the interview room, and he came straight to him, and Swami said, you get up. Okay. So he actually did not know what that meant. Actually, he was very confused. Because, you know, why is Swami simply pointing him out and asking him to come inside the interview room?
I can totally understand. He must have been so perplexed at being singled out among that many people at his very first trip to Puttaparthi.
Exactly. So, you know, he had imagined that if someone is being given a private audience, then it would be, you know, on the basis of some tokens or some recommendations. And he had actually nothing of that sort. You know, why will someone out of the blue, Baba, just ask him to get up and come inside the interview room? So he was actually very confused. And then, you know, someone guided him to go into the interview room. And once he was there, even before he could say anything, Swami, in one continuous flow, narrated the entire story of his life, along with all its troubles, you know, all the twists and turns of his life in great detail. He was simply zapped. He was in absolute awe.
Oh, this is the common experience of so many people in the interview room.
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, I have a recording, Hari, of what he said. He said many things, but let me play for you a small clip, because in this, he explains how he came to Prashantinilayam and what he experienced inside the interview room.
I am all yours, Bishu.
ఎప్పుడు స్వామి ఇక్కడికి వచ్చినప్పుడు చాలా అనుభవాలు వచ్చాయండి. స్వామి పరోక్షంగా ఉన్నప్పుడు కూడా చాలా అనుభవాలు జరిగాయి.
I have experienced a lot of Bhagwan in his physical as well as his omnipresence in Shivam. I was fortunate to have two interviews with Bhagwan. If you ask me to share Bhagwan's compassion on me, I can tell you, not out of pride but with humility. On October 30th, 1972, which happened to be my birthday, I was going through a lot of hardships in my life. On that day, I decided to go to Puttaparthi with my family. I did not know the way or the location. Praying to him in my mind, O Lord, you are the great one, the one supposed to grant justice to all. Somehow I reached Prashanti and found myself in the veranda. Sitting there with my second daughter on my lap, it was in the afternoon of 30th October. Swami came straight to me and said, get up. I was confused. I did not know what that meant. I thought to go for interviews, there should be a system of tokens or recommendations or something of that sort. Once I was inside in the interview room, there was no question of me asking anything to Swami. at all. Swami narrated all my problems in their entirety. Do not worry, I am there. From now on, I will take care of everything. What sort of a job are you doing? There is no money there, no promotion too. You try for another job, you will get it. No worries. So, that is what happened. I did get a new job and I came to Hyderabad. This is something I had never expected. And later, I also got a promotion too. I happened to join the Directorate of School Education and after many promotions, even became the Assistant Director in the Directorate of School Education. What else do I need? I have four children. All of them studied in Baba's College and the last son actually received a gold medal in MCOM and is very well settled abroad now. So much and in so many ways I have experienced his grace. My last son actually used to have epileptic fits. At that time when Akhanda Bhajans used to go on in Shivam, I used to serve here in the nights preparing the prasadam dish, pulihora. In fact, when Bhagwan gave us an interview earlier, this boy was also there with us. He was 10 months old then. All six of us were inside the interview room on that occasion. But when Swami came out for darshan during this visit, this boy suddenly developed fever and generally his fevers are followed by fits. So my wife prayed, Swami, please save my son. Please cure his fits. Please Swami, protect us. From then on, no fits.
అప్పుడు స్వామి ఎటు వెళ్తున్నారు, వెళ్తుంటే మా మిస్సెస్ స్వామి ఫిక్స్ రాకుండా కాపాడండి, మీ దయ పిల్లల్ని రక్షించండి, అప్పటి నుంచి నో ఫిక్స్.
సో యాజ్ యూ హర్డ్ Mr. Mohan Rao said that Swami so lovingly assured him in the interview room that you don't have to worry, I am there, your current job hardly fetches you any good money, moreover you don't get any promotions, don't worry, apply for another job and you will get it. And you know, just as Bhagwan blessed him, that is, we heard that's what he said. He shifted to Hyderabad, a dream come true for him. He was living next to Shivam and soon he became the assistant director in the Directorate of School Education. But another fantastic thing, Hari, is this. You know, this is how God works. Mr. Mohan Rao did not own a house. And what happened is this. He won a property in a lottery.
What a lucky man.
That is why, you know, he says, what has Swami not done for me? And there are many instances of his grace that he has experienced ever since that interview. He says, you know, we heard him talking about the epileptic fits of his son, which was cured by Bhagwan with just one look. And he further continues to say, believe me, from that day, my son has not had another instance of fits till date.
So Swami has completely taken over every aspect of his life, providing for every small need of Mr. Mohan Rao.
It doesn't end with that. Swami gave him another interview in 1991 and at that time he prayed that his son, who at that time was holding a top position in United India Insurance and he was working in Maharashtra, to be transferred to Hyderabad. He prayed to Swami if his son can come and live with him in Hyderabad. And incredibly, that is what happened. In a few days, his son's office was moved to Hyderabad and Mr. Mohan Rao says such a thing has never happened in the history of that organization.
That's fantastic, Bishu. In fact, the last 20 minutes, we've been talking about all these devotees who have fallen in love with Bhagwan and have immensely benefited from visiting Shivam. And for some, it is like Prashanthi Nilayam in Shivam.
Yes, and as Mr. Mohan Rao says, that when I decide to go to Prashanthi Nilayam, I first go to Shivam and I offer my obeisances and pray for a fulfilling journey in Shivam and then start to Prashanthi Nilayam.
You know, Bishu, I'm quite curious to know what has made Shivam what it is today. I mean, there should be a secret to the serenity and the power this place embodies. Earlier you mentioned something about a yantra being there.
Yes, yes. There is a very beautiful story about how that yantra came there. But, you know, I will come to that in a little while. And to your question about what is the secret behind Shivam, I feel the answer lies in every particle of its sand and brick, of its wall and pillar, of its step and stone. I think it lies in its name and its form. Because Shivam literally means unsullied auspiciousness. To put it simply, Shivam is not a human creation. It is the divine who willed it and who built it. Because from the very conception of the structure to the selection of the site, to the laying of the foundation stone, to supervising the construction, to the inauguration of this architectural marvel, you know, all the aspects were directly ordained, orchestrated and executed by Bhagwan. And everything happened in Bhagwan's physical direction.
So that is a divine hand in every small aspect of Shivam.
And the amazing thing is, you know, Swami so beautifully chose so many instruments. He not only chose them, he systematically chiseled them year after year so that they could participate in this beautiful Shivam mission. Though Swami breathed life into Shivam, so to say, on April 4th, 1973. That is the inauguration day.
1973 to 2013. So this year is the 40th anniversary of Shivam.
Exactly, 40 years of Shivam's existence. And that is the reason why, you know, there is a lot of celebration and preparation for festivities going on in Shivam even as we speak now. In fact, the celebrations in Shivam have always been very grand and very elaborate. We'll come to that a little later.
We were talking about the Shivam secret and how Swami chose many people to work as his instruments towards
exactly.
his mission.
It actually dates back to as early as 1958, Hari. It was August 26, 1958 to be precise, when Swami visited Hyderabad for the first time. And on that occasion, he blessed the housewarming ceremony at Kausalya Bhavan, which is the house of a devotee, and he delivered a discourse at the same venue on that occasion. Unfortunately, we do not have a recording of that discourse with us today.
Ah, the first discourse of Swami in Hyderabad. That would have been so precious to
absolutely,
listen to.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that was the first visit of Bhagwan. This was followed by numerous divine visits in the 60s. And in 1964, Swami chose Hyderabad to host the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. You must have read about Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, Hari.
Ah, yes. The Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. So that was the organization that Bhagwan had founded in 1962.
Yes.
And he had these twin objectives. The first was to revive the ancient scriptures of
correct.
This sacred land. And also, the other objective was to restore the respect due to scholars of these sublime texts in the eyes of the modern man.
Exactly. In fact, you know, thinking about how important this is, I am reminded of what Bhagwan once said while addressing the management students of his university. He said, "It should be remembered that the prosperity of the nation does not depend on material resources of the country, like deposits of coal, iron ore, oil and so on. He said, it depends on the educated youth, the enlightened boys and girls. And what Bhagwan went on to say is, such enlightened youth cannot thrive in a society which does not have the foundation of purity of mind, ethics and morals. And these virtues cannot be fostered in a society bereft of spiritual orientation." So Bhagwan very categorically said that the rise of social problems and the social evils today in society is because of the decline of spirituality in society. When you think of it in this light, no, it acquires so much significance, because for us to spiritualize our societies, we have to first develop respect for our ancient scriptures and also honor the scholars, because they are the ones who can interpret and explain those scriptures to us. And if that is lost, you know, then we lose touch with our scriptures.
I totally agree with you, Bishu, on this. In fact, what you just said is an echo of the words that Bhagwan mentioned in that discourse during the first Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha that was held in Hyderabad in 1964. And Bhagwan said, "This Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha has been formed to revive this pilgrimage of man to God." And Bhagwan went on to say, "There is no other support in times of dire need than God. To know Him, cling to Him, and merge in His immeasurable splendor, that is the highest goal of man." Yes, it is so uplifting. But Vishu, I think we need to go back to the Shivam story. I am sure you have plenty of tales in store.
Yes, yes. Let me tell you the story of 2-3 devotees who eventually contributed immensely to the Sai mission in Hyderabad. And these people whom Bhagwan chose in times to come played very crucial role in the genesis and the blossoming of Shivam.
Tell us about them, Vishu.
The first is Mr. Ram Brahma Shastri, a very deeply spiritually inclined man and a very religious man who was gifted with great literary talent. In the 50s, he had heard a discourse of Bhagwan wherein Baba says, "To whichever God you may worship, all the prayers reach me." And Mr. Ram Brahma Shastri thought, this cannot be true. I mean, who is this person who says that all the prayers reach me? And he was a devotee of Lord Krishna since his childhood. And any other concept of God was actually very difficult for him to digest. But you know, destiny had its own ways, and in the early 60s, his job shifted him to Hyderabad, and this was also the time when he was actually struck with a tragedy, a terrible tragedy. His third son, Krishnamohan, became a victim of polio. In fact, in those days, polio was a very dreaded disease in India. I think now, more or less, it is eradicated. Isn't that so, Hari?
Yeah, it is now totally eradicated in India.
Just like smallpox.
Yes, just like smallpox. And it's just over a year since we eradicated it in India. And we are now supporting the government of Pakistan in eradicating polio in that country.
Hmm. So, coming back to the story, Krishnamohan, the son of Mr. Ram Brahma Shastri, was afflicted with polio and he lost his ability to walk completely. And the family was obviously devastated. For 3 months, they tried various treatments and they went to this famous Gandhi Hospital in Hyderabad, but with very little hope. The family was absolutely deep in sorrow, and it is at this time that a well-wisher told Mr. Rama Brahma Shastri, "It seems Swami will be coming to Hyderabad. Why don't you take your son to him? Who knows, with his blessings he may become fine." Now, so Ram Brahma Shastri made some inquiries and he found out that Swami would be staying in the house of Mr. Burgula Ramkrishna Rao, who was indeed the first elected chief minister of the erstwhile Hyderabad state. So when he came to know of this, Ram Brahma Shastri, he said to himself, "I know these Swamijis. You know, they will bless only those who can fly them in planes and who can house them in palatial homes. You know, why would someone bother to help an ordinary person like me?" Now, this is the thought that was going on in his mind. But nevertheless, hoping for the best, he went for darshan to the house of Mr. Ramkrishna Rao. And he sat in the crowd, carrying his son along with him. And Hari, instead of me telling you the entire story, let us hear it directly from Ram Brahma Shastri, because I have got a short clipping of him narrating his story.
Okay, Vishwa.
Appudu 65 lo Bhagavan Baba var Hyderabad vastunaru ani cheppanu naku. అక్కడ భక్తులు చెప్పారు అది అక్కడ బోర్గొల రామకృష్ణరావు గారి ఇంటికి వస్తున్నారు.
In 1965, someone told me that Bhagwan is coming to Hyderabad. He will be staying in Barkatpura in the residence of Burgula Ramkrishna Rao. Around that area where a state bank was located, one devotee living there told me, "Listen, Mr. Ramabrahmam, you are so concerned about your son. With that Swami's grace, your son may recover from the illness. He will become independent. Till then, I had seen pictures of Swami shown to me by others, and I used to feel all these Swamijis will grace only those who fly them in planes and house them in mansions. I am an ordinary person with so limited means. I cannot offer anything to him. Why will he be bothered about me?" I thought so because in those days, many so-called holy men drew only those people near them who could give them expensive gifts. Only such people got interviews and their proximity. And I am an ordinary person belonging to lower middle class. But this person said, "Do not think in this manner. You please come. This Swami is different. You do not have to go to him. Instead, he will come to you. He will go round the devotees. Devotees need not go round him." In fact, when I heard this, I was even more surprised because I have heard of such a phenomena before wherein a holy man himself was going out to the devotees. Generally, these holy men would be sitting on a pedestal and all people go to them and prostrate and take their blessings. I have seen so many holy men of this nature right from my childhood. So I was very inquisitive and I said to myself, "Let me go and examine myself." My son Krishnamohan was on my shoulder. Bhagwan was in the upstairs of that residence, and after he finished the interviews, they said, "Baba is now coming down to see all the devotees." Now when this message came, a thought crossed my mind. As I knew Bhagavad Gita well, a verse came to my mind. Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. If he is truly God, he would bless us like he blessed Arjuna. Lord Krishna said, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. Will he prove this statement? I was seated carrying this doubt in my mind. And Bhagwan came towards me and then moved few steps away from me. Immediately, I got the doubt again. I started thinking, oh, he is the one who blesses those who fly in aircrafts. This Swami takes care of only the rich people. Given what I am, how can I expect him to look at ordinary persons like me? The moment I got this thought, Bhagwan came back to me and materialized Vibhuti for my son Krishna Mohan, who was sitting on my lap, and he put Vibhuti in his mouth and quietly moved away, smiling at me. Yes, he did prove the words Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. I didn't offer anything to him. I am an ordinary person, but he blessed me.
వాడి నోట్ల వేసి అప్పుడు నన్ను చూసి ఓ చిరునవ్వు నవ్వి అప్పుడు ముందరికి వెళ్ళిపోయినారు. అప్పుడు చంపలేసుకున్నా. నిజంగా సమూహం సర్వభూతేషు అని భగవద్గీతలో చెప్పింది. ఈయన ప్రత్యక్షంగా చూపించారు. నేనేమి ఆయనకేమి సమర్పించుకోగలిగిన కానుకలు ఇవ్వగలిగిన వాడిని కాదు, ఆర్డినరీ భేదవాడిని. మరి నన్ను కూడా కాస్త అనుగ్రహించారంటే పర్వాలేదు అనుకున్నా.
సో దాట్ వాజ్ ది ఫినాలే. Swami blessing him with that beautiful mischievous smile and then silently moving on after giving Vibhuti to his son. Nothing was spoken, but so much was communicated. Nothing was heard, but so much was felt. Nothing was explicitly asked, but so much was simply given. And from that day, Krishna Mohan's health began to improve, and in a few days, he started walking again. He was no more dependent on anybody.
So all these doubts that he carried in his mind, they all must have resolved.
Yes, they did resolve to great extent, but still, you know, he had his doubts kept on coming till he became really a staunch devotee. But every opportunity Swami took to chisel him. And you know, today he is such a staunch devotee that that entire family is a hugely talented family which has contributed immensely to Bhagwan's mission. Today, Sri Krishna Mohan is the bhajan coordinator for Shivam, because he's a lovely composer of bhajans. And his brother is Ravi Teja. I guess you know about Ravi Teja.
Our brother Ravi Teja, who works in the Bhaktisayak Sangh.
Yes.
And oh, that's wonderful.
And who plays flute.
That's then a hugely talented family. And Ravi Teja breathes out such lovely tunes in his flute. And on how many occasions we have seen Swami lost listening to his flute recital.
Yes.
And so, now you tell me his brother is a gifted composer.
Yes. So that family has contributed immensely to the bhajan movement. In fact, I met Krishna Mohan now when I was in Hyderabad. And it was really absolutely thrilling to talk to him. And in fact, I told him that, you know, we must record how the story behind each of his compositions, because each of those bhajans, how they emerged, with what feeling they emerged, there is a beautiful story to that. And today he's a branch manager at the State Bank of India, Hyderabad. You know, that is how Swami drew this family onto him.
And that's an amazing story, Bishu. So he's one instrument that the Lord selected for his mission in Hyderabad.
Yes, just one. I mean, there are so many stories like that. I met another person by name Mr. S.V.L.N. Narasimha Rao. And his story is also very interesting. It actually dates back to the 1950s. Swami used to visit Rajahmundry in those days. During one such visit, an 85-year-old lady, Mrs. Lakshmi Kantamma, he asked Mr. Narasimha Rao's family to accompany her to have Baba's darshan. At that time, Mr. Narasimha Rao was only 10 years old, so he acceded to the request of this old lady and they went for darshan. When Swami came near them, Narasimha Rao saw that this old lady, this octogenarian woman, she bowed down and touched the feet of Baba. And Swami was just 25 years old.
Just 25 years old. And this old lady was touching his feet.
Yes. When Narasimha Rao saw this, why should an 85-year-old lady touch the feet of a 25-year youngster? You know, this really baffled him. And what is even more interesting is this. You know, he just complained about this to his mother. And what his mother did is even more fascinating. She just took Narasimha Rao's hand and she gently placed it on Bhagwan's feet. And Narasimha Rao says, the moment I touched him, I felt so tranquil and I was completely at peace. I was motionless. I was transfixed, staring at him. Even though he had moved away, I was just transfixed. I could not just take my eyes off him. I mean, that is how his journey with Swami began. And later, Mr. Narasimha Rao was a witness to many amazing facts of the divine. In fact, on another occasion in Rajahmundry, when Swami was addressing a gathering of about 600 people, Swami suddenly stopped and sent word for two youngsters sitting in an obscure corner of the crowd. And he gave complete details of the names and the village of these two youngsters. And you know, ultimately the volunteers went and they could discover these two youngsters. And when they were told that Baba is calling them, you know, they started protesting. They said, no, why should Baba call us? You know, we do not know him. That kind of response.
I can guess what must have been going through their minds. And given that Swami had called them out of the hundreds who had gathered there.
Exactly. You know, so with a lot of persuasion, actually, they were brought to the dais. They were very reluctant. And when they finally came to Bhagwan, Swami very lovingly asked them, inquired about their welfare, how are you and all that. And then Swami gently ran his fingers through his hair and he pushed his hair behind. And then he told these boys, see, there is nothing wrong with my ears. They are where they are supposed to be. Okay.
And what was the doubt that was running through their mind?
Exactly. You know, that is what everyone thought. Why is Swami saying this? And then Swami revealed. Swami said, since my hair falls on my shoulders, these two youngsters sitting in that corner, they had decided that I do not have ears. And that is what they were discussing. That is why Swami had called them onto the stage and Swami was declaring. And Swami was not only showing his omnipresence, but also letting everyone know, since my hair falls on my shoulders, these two had decided that I do not have ears and that I am using my hair to conceal this fact.
Oh, the two boys must have been completely taken by surprise.
They were too shocked to react. Obviously, you know, what do you expect? They just fell at Bhagwan's feet asking pardon.
Bishu, wasn't there a similar incident in Kasturiji's life too?
Yes, yes. I think I remember reading something like that in Loving God.
In fact, this was the first birthday celebrations of Bhagwan that was held in Prashantinilayam.
Mm-hmm. Which year was that?
This was in 1953.
Okay.
And a function was held where the devotees would come and anoint Bhagwan, and Kasturiji was one of the few chosen ones.
Perhaps the initial years of anointing ceremony of Bhagwan.
Yes, yes. And as he walked towards Bhagwan for this opportunity, someone whispered into his ears, a colleague of his, that this is the time to check whether the afro, you know, hair on Swami's head, whether that was for real or whether that was a wig.
Oh, ho. Oh my God.
Yes, these are the kind of things that Swami had to endure in those years.
Those years.
And here, Kasturiji decided that yes, this was an opportunity.
Oh my God.
And then he...
And even though Swami had given him that chance, those doubts were still there. I can't believe that.
Yes, these were the early years. And you can imagine how difficult it must have been even for the devotees. That now we take these things for granted. Perhaps because Kasturiji has written so much about Bhagwan and his stories. And so, coming back to what actually happened at the time, it is quite hilarious to listen to. So, Kasturiji dipped the rose in the fragrant oil and then, you know, he pressed it to Bhagwan's forehead. And then, it was at that time that he decided to give Bhagwan's hair a small tug towards one side.
Oh, just to check, huh?
Just to check.
Oh my God.
And at this time, Bhagwan's head was little, you know, bent forward as they were anointing him. And he whispered to Kasturiji, try pushing it towards the right side also.
Oh my God.
He was so sporting. And this really put the fear of God into Kasturiji's heart at that moment. He didn't know what would happen, but as he went on to write in that book, that Bhagwan, he started narrating the story to devotees on many occasions, to the hilarity among the devotees, but to the discomfiture of Kasturiji.
So, amazing. I mean, even here you had a similar incident where Swami pulls his hair back just to show these youngsters that he does have ears. And he pulls them out from the crowd. In fact, there's one more very profound incident this Mr. Narasimha Rao narrates. It happened in Rajahmundry. Swami had gone there to perform a yajnam. Basically, he was there when this yajnam was being performed. And as the ritual reached its conclusion, on the request of the priest, Swami materialized this Navadhanyas and Navaratnas. Basically, those 9 types of grains and 9 gems which are cast into the ceremonial fire pit during the Purnahuti of the yajnam.
Like it used to happen at the Dashara Yajna Purnahuti.
Yes, when you used to see Bhagwan create this Navaratnas as the final oblation to the fire.
Right.
So, after that was done, just as it happens even in Prashantinilayam, you know, Swami went around sprinkling the sacred water on all present. And at that point, the priests there, they prayed to Bhagwan. They said, Swami, a slight shower of rain now would bring joy to all.
Because that is considered so auspicious. And we see that if there is a rain, a small rain at the time of any such yajna, it's considered auspicious, and we do see it happening almost every Dashara yajna that is held in Prashantinilayam.
Yes, every evening we would see that there is a small drizzle.
A light rain.
Light rain, yeah. So that is what the priest prayed for. And Swami listened to their prayer, and Swami asked, is there a temple nearby?
Hmm.
So the priest said, yes Swami, there is one. There is a Krishna temple a few meters away. Then Swami said, in 10 minutes, it is going to rain. All of you disperse. So people from far off places, they went and stayed at that temple and any other house they could find nearby. And Narasimha Rao says, I could see no cloud in the vicinity when Bhagwan made that announcement.
Hmm.
And 8 minutes passed since Swami had declared and nothing had happened.
Nothing happened still.
Nothing happened still. And then suddenly, in 2 minutes, dark clouds enveloped the sky and it began to rain. Okay, that, and it poured from 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. that day. After the yajnam, it poured and he says, I was completely soaked in that downpour. But by the time it was 4:30, it was sunny again and there was nothing to hint that it had actually rained for 2-3 hours a few minutes ago.
And to think that the priest had only asked for a light rain.
Yeah. What a shower. It was a bonanza.
And indeed, I think Narasimha Rao was so fortunate to witness such supernormal feats of Bhagwan. It must have really strengthened his faith in his divinity.
That's what exactly happened. In fact, he became so convinced of Swami's divinity that later he dedicated himself completely to serving Bhagwan's mission in Shivam. In fact, as I was talking to him, he told me how prior to the coming up of Shivam, Swami used to often stay in the houses of devotees, and if it was the mansion of Chincholi Rani Sahib during one visit, at another time it was the house of Dr. Burgul Ramkrishna Rao, which we talked about, some other time it was in the house of Raja Umapati Rao, and also one Mr. V.D. Prasad Rao. And as he was saying this, you know, he remembered again a very humorous incident that Dr. V.V.S. Sharma, the son of Prasad Rao, had told him. Dr. V.V.S. Sharma, he used to drive Swami's car in those days whenever Bhagwan came to Hyderabad. And on one occasion, when they were on their way to a place located at a distance of about 40 kilometers, halfway through their journey, their car suddenly stopped and they realized that they have run out of petrol.
Oh, what a predicament to be in with Bhagwan as your passenger.
Yes, but that predicament actually became a very interesting
blessing.
Blessing, yeah, because, you know, as you mentioned, Swami was in the car and there were only three of them, this father, son and Bhagwan. And just then it was noticed that on the road there was a villager on a bicycle carrying country liquor in a pot. And Swami suddenly asked Dr. Sharma to get liquor from that villager.
That would have been a great shock to
yes.
Mr. Sharma.
Yes.
Swami ordering him to buy liquor. Okay, what happened next?
And what happened next was, imagine, Swami asked that liquor to be poured into the petrol tank.
Right.
And what do you expect? Wonder of wonders.
Oh, he turned water to petrol. Now it is liquor to
liquor
petrol.
Liquor to petrol.
Right.
I mean, these are, you know, when you think about this Bhagwan's visits to Hyderabad before Shivam came and how he was, you know, doing this amazing history of this fascinating instances of his leelas and mahimas that happened in the 60s and 70s, you know, bringing all these people into his fold. And that is how in 1968, Swami set up the first Sri Satya Sai Sevadals or the Sai Volunteers. That movement actually started in Hyderabad in 1968.
Which has now grown into the worldwide Sri Satya Sai organization.
Organization. But the whole concept of forming a group of volunteers to do selfless service, that started in Hyderabad in 1968.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And a lot of people joined this. And Swami ensured to take care of not only the Sevadals, but of their entire families. You know, he really took care of them like the eyelid protects the eye. In fact, there's one story of Mr. B.V. Satyamurthy, another member of the Hyderabad Sevadal group, and who came to Prashantinilayam on one occasion. And the moment he came to Parthi, Swami asked him, didn't your brother come? So then Mr. Satyamurthy said, Swami, a new director has been appointed in my brother's office, which has really made it very difficult for him to get frequent leaves. Then Swami said, tell him, within a week, Raghavendra will come. Now, this is very confusing because they don't know who is this Raghavendra. And when Satyamurthy delivered this message of Bhagwan to his brother, he didn't know what to make of it. But just as Swami had mentioned, a gentleman by name Raghavendra took over as the new director of the company in a week. And the best part is, that person was a Sai devotee.
And we see again Bhagwan orchestrating events just as he usually does.
Absolutely. And again, on another occasion, Mr. Satyamurthy was again in Puttaparthi in the early 70s, and this time he was accompanied by his brother, B.V. Chandrasekhar, who had come to inform Swami and take his blessings before resigning from his current job and accepting a new offer. So he waited and tried for 3 days, but with no success. On the third day, he was very dejected. He walked towards the bus station, you know, to go back, take a bus and return to Hyderabad. Exactly the same time, Swami was returning to Mandir after inspecting the canteen. And suddenly, Swami called for Satyamurthy and said, "Your brother is loading his luggage onto the bus. Go and call him." And so this Satyamurthy hurried to the bus station. He brought his brother and Swami called him inside and told him, "Do not quit your current job. There will be a hike in your pay and this job is going to be good for you. Go back and continue working there till I tell you." And at the same time, Swami looked at Satyamurthy, who was very anxious about his wife because she was in the family way. And Swami told him, "I know you are concerned about your wife, but have no worries. She will be fine. I am going to give you a boy. Give this vibhuti to her and bring the child to me to Puttaparthi."
Oh, this is so awesome to listen to. In fact, I have myself heard Bhagwan say this to some of the teachers when we were students at the university. And Swami told them, "You take care of my work and I will take care of yours."
And we see that happen again and again.
Again and again. And this is what many of us have already experienced in his service.
And this is what really, you know, pulled so many more into the Sai movement and into the Sevadal movement. And eventually, there were two Sevadal groups, one in Hyderabad and one in Secunderabad. And Swami actually clubbed these two into one body, the Sri Satya Sai Seva Samiti, in 1971, and Swami made Mr. V.D. Prasad Rao as the secretary of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Samiti.
Okay.
And in the next few years, Mr. Prasad Rao, who is actually a construction engineer, he had a very significant role to play in the making of Shivam.
What is the story of Mr. Prasad Rao? You told us about his son, Dr. V.S.S. Sharma, and that car refilling incident.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I have to tell you the story of Prasad Rao because, you know, his tale is something which should not be missed.
Yeah.
I heard this from V.V.S. Sharma. He said that their family migrated to Hyderabad from Vijayawada in 1960. His mother suffered actually at that time from a serious cardiac ailment. And after this, his father visited every hospital and, you know, every holy man looking for a cure. And when they heard of Bhagwan in 1966, they came to Puttaparthi with the then collector of the Anandpur district. And, you know, 1966, Puttaparthi was a very different place. They did not know where to stay. There was no accommodation facilities in the ashram. So somehow they kept their luggage in the police station and they came for darshan. Swami came out at 4 that evening, but he did not look at them. But next day, at 7 in the morning, Swami sent word for his father. And his father was actually absolutely puzzled because he had not informed anyone about his arrival to Puttaparthi. And nobody actually in Puttaparthi knew anything about him. And suddenly Swami asking for him, someone coming looking out for him, was actually very surprising for him. And the moment he went to Bhagwan's presence, without him saying anything, Bhagwan said, "I will soon be going to Hyderabad and I will stay in Mr. Burgule Ramakrishna Rao's house or in Mr. Umapati Rao's house. You come there. I will see your wife too in that place."
Okay.
He had not told anything to anyone about his wife's problem. And here was Bhagwan out of the blue telling him that you come to Hyderabad when I go to Hyderabad and I will see you there. And then Swami showered a lot of blessings on him. He had lunch with Swami that day. And that same night he returned to Hyderabad. And in a few months, when Swami came to Hyderabad as promised, within a day or two of Bhagwan's arrival to Hyderabad, what happened really utterly amazed him because Swami made a surprise visit to his house.
Must have been so surprising for him.
Absolutely surprising for Prasad Rao because, you know, Swami had told him, "I will be staying in someone else's house and you come and see me there." But he completely took him by surprise and went to his house. And on that occasion, Swami went and Swami saw his wife, that is Dr. Sharma's mother, and Swami created medicine for her and Swami gave it to her, and then Swami said, "See, Amma, one cannot avoid karmic results. If you want, I can remove your ailment in a second, but you have to suffer in the next birth. But in this life, you are lucky to be born in a nice family. Therefore, it is better you go through it in this birth itself." This is what Swami advised to his mother. But Swami added, the most loving Swami, he said, "I will see to it that your pain and suffering is minimal."
Yeah, it is such an important lesson that Swami gave their family and to, of course, all of us at that time, that how, like, our prayer to Bhagwan to cure us, but how Bhagwan responds so appropriately as per the need of that individual
soul. And
what
is best for us.
What is best for that soul, yes.
Absolutely. So this happened in March 1967, and Swami also promised Mr. Prasad Rao during that visit that he would come and stay in the house the next time he came to Hyderabad. And this time it was a surprise visit, but he also told he will come and stay in the house. But what actually happened was that he visited and stayed in the house not only the next time, but for nearly 20 times after that.
Oh, this is a very wonderful thing that you just spoke about, because this is a very rare opportunity that a person gets. Receiving Swami as your guest, not once, but 20 times.
20 times. And Mr. Sharma had the privilege of driving Swami around Hyderabad whenever he came to that city. And, you know, in those days, Swami used to visit a lot of devotees' homes, and he was always there accompanying Bhagwan in all these trips. And in 1971, something very beautiful happened. Mr. Prasad Rao had a dream in which Swami appeared to him inside a lingam. And Mr. Prasad Rao liked this image, what he saw in that dream, so very much. Because, you know, it was Swami inside a lingam and it looked so beautiful. And moreover, during Shivratri that year, the Sevadals from Mumbai had worn a badge which had an enamel showing Swami within a lingam. And many devotees in Hyderabad really found that very appealing. So what happened, Mr. Prasad Rao, in the next opportunity when he was with Bhagwan, he expressed this to Swami. He expressed this to Swami and he sought Bhagwan's permission to build a structure in the shape of a lingam in Hyderabad. As I told you, he was a construction engineer.
Yes.
And he prayed to Swami if they can build a structure in the shape of lingam in Hyderabad. And Swami listened to his prayer and said, "Good, develop a model." So that's how a prototype was ready, and Mr. Prasad Rao, along with a few architects, showed it to Swami for his approval, and Swami made some corrections and finally said, "Go ahead."
Ah, so finally we are here at the creation of the Shivam.
Absolutely. I mean, all these things that we were listening till now was in preparation for how this beautiful structure came up. So the prototype was ready, and the next important activity was the selection of a suitable site.
Right.
And Swami, along with a few devotees, drove around Hyderabad himself looking for an appropriate site. And finally, he selected the site in Bagh Ambarpet in Vidyanagar. Apparently, Swami had himself purchased this area a few years ago. I mean, it was all the divine plan.
Plan, yes.
Yes. And it was adjacent to the house of another very ardent devotee, Mr. E.J. Satyamurthy. And once this site selection was done, Swami had another very significant event in his divine agenda. You know, there were three devotees in Hyderabad whom Swami had specially blessed by giving them for worship the lingams that he had manifested from within his being during the Lingodvam, you know, on occasions of Shivratri and Prashantinilayam.
Oh, these people were so fortunate.
Yes, they had the lingams which had originated from Bhagawan's being, and Swami directed that all these three lingams be brought. So Mr. Desikachari, Mr. B.V. Raman Rao and Mr. V.D. Prasad Rao brought these lingams onto the site, and a Trilingabhishekam, a ritual, was performed in Swami's presence with a lot of fervor and piety and grandeur, and that really suffused the area with sacred vibrations.
I am so amazed to hear, Bishu, the amount of sacredness that Swami has invested this temple with, and I am sure it must be a powerful center of such vibrations.
I mean, that is the reason why, you know, in the beginning we discussed so many experience of people, how they are feeling. I think when you know the history, it all becomes very clear. In fact, there is so much more to it, because There is also this grand ceremony of the Shankusthapana, that is the foundation stone laying ceremony, and Swami himself supervised every section of this function. The day was most appropriate. It was a Monday in the month of Kartika. In fact,
the same day and month in which Swami was born.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, the date according to the English calendar was October 25th, 1971. But if you go by the lunar calendar, it was the same day and month in which Swami was born. And the most sublime aspect of the ceremony was that Lord Sai Shiva in his own hands laid the first stone for this enigmatic edifice. And then Bhagwan with a wave of his hand materialized a yantra.
Oh, so this is how that yantra actually got installed in that site. I think this is so much glorious history behind Shivam, and this is the secret of the potency of that place.
I can say maybe this is only one of the reasons why this has become such a powerful center for spiritual regeneration. The way I look at it, you know, there are, in the days to come, this is going to be one of those energy centers which will really charge people towards the Godward path.
Bishu, did the construction work start immediately? And of course, when was the inauguration? Did Swami come for the inauguration of Shivam?
Oh yeah, I mean, there are so many stories because, you know, we have just now come to the story of the groundbreaking ceremony and Swami installing the yantra. But plenty of stories of how the building came up, Swami's involvement in the construction of the Shivam and the inauguration and Swami's subsequent visits to Shivam. I don't know if we have time for that today.
Yeah, it looks like we have to stop now, but I'm really hoping that we can continue this at some other opportunity.
Definitely, definitely. Let's pray. I just hope that we get to meet again. It was really a lovely satsang till now. Let's hope and pray that we can meet again and continue this discussion.
Yes, sure, Bishu. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Yeah.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that's, in brief, the story of how a few individuals were chiseled by Swami to be instruments in this creation of Shivam, and how such wonderful events preceded the groundbreaking ceremony of Shivam. And as I mentioned to Hari, there is a lot more to this story, and by Swami's grace, we hope to continue this conversation in the weeks to come. On one occasion, Swami did mention that Shivam is my heart. And if you look at the central theme of all the discourses that Bhagwan has given in Shivam, it is only one: service, service, and more selfless service, the heart of Swami's message. In 1976, in Shivam, Swami said, "Service to the Sai in the other person must be your daily act of worship. Of all the spiritual practices, this is the most effective. Seek out the slum dwellers, the poor and the neglected. Take love and light to them in plenty. Be grateful to them when they come to you. Welcome them and provide them whatever you can offer. Be grateful to them when they welcome you and they give you the chance to serve them. Your happiness depends on their happiness. Your health depends on their health." So that was Bhagwan's message in 1976 to devotees and Shivam, and that indeed is his message right from the day of his advent. Dear listeners, let us pause for a moment and reflect on this message and see how much of this we can translate into our lives. Because as Bhagwan said, there lies happiness, there lies the secret of experiencing perennial joy, of experiencing unending peace, a peace that cannot be got with anything that is material. I want to leave you with this thought, dear listeners, because it is time to draw the curtains on this Thursday live broadcast from the studios. The time in the studios is almost 10:08 now. We are running late today by half an hour because of a Mandir program which went on for another extra 20-25 minutes. You had a beautiful Burukatha presentation, and our live broadcast started after the Mandir sessions at 7 instead of the usual 6:30. Anyway, by Bhagwan's grace, we are happy that we are at the end of
this Thursday live broadcast from the studios. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Please feel free, dear listeners, to share your thoughts on this program by writing to listener@radiosai.org. listener@radiosai.org. And as I sign off now, you will listen to a drama presented by children and devotees from South Africa on 28th September 2010. It is entitled Ubuntu. They performed this in front of Bhagwan, and Bhagwan was so pleased to see these children from South Africa offer their presentation of love. Please listen to this. Even as I sign off now, you will continue to listen to this program. Enjoy listening to this. And thank you so much for being with us till now. And finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet good night and loving Sairam from Prashanthinilayam.